regular, regular features, a regular, regular, regular features, a regular, regular, regular features, a regular features show.
Hello, and welcome to Regular Features, the podcast that is the same every week. I'm Log, and I'm joined this week, like every week, by my best friend, who's driving a car.
I'm driving at the minute, Log.
Where are you going, Steve?
I'm on the M25.
Which direction? Clockwise?
Clock.
How fast are you going, Steve? Are you having a stroke?
60 miles.
Nice. And what do you have for us today for the podcast, friends?
What?
Are you?
You'll need to speak up.
Why are you doing this?
It's called improv, Log.
You're supposed to say yes and. Not crouch down and whisper, why are you doing this?
I'm not the one making weird...
How far do you think Tina Fey would have gotten if she crouched down and said, why are you doing this?
You're not
a baker.
I had a joke planned for 5 minutes that relied 5 minutes in the future that relied on you not doing this.
Really, really barricaded me here. I've got a feature about what it would be like if I were a baby and my dad, as logic would dictate, is Log.
That's me, boys. I can't wait to see how that unfolds. I'm sure you'll be clamped to one of these two fucking heifer boobs.
Yeah, you won't be able to get me off. You're going to need a bicycle pump.
I will take my belt off my trousers and strap it around my chest so you can never get off, Steve.
No.
Oh, that's nice. That is quite nice, actually. Yeah. I also have had baby thoughts, but I've also had a bit of a time with my pub of late. So I just want to talk to you about it all.
Another miserable story.
Yeah, but at least no one dies in this one. Oh, my mistake.
I like a regular feature, sir.
You like a regular feature, too. Regular feature, too.
Malfunction.
And now it's time for Steve's regular feature. You are baby Steve. Can you suckle your dad, Log?
Hey, whoop!
That's right.
Yes,
we've all got babies on the brain. Some of us have babies on the train. That's right. That's what we're talking about, our fellow regular features podcaster, Joe, who has had a real baby, which
and
has
put
me
it on a train, apparently.
On a train.
All the way to Shepperston.
I just can't stop thinking about babies. I've got this sympathetic love of all babies now. Mm. And it put me to thinking, what if I was a baby?
Oh, yeah, man. You've gone one further than sympathy. You've gone full empathy.
Yeah. I'm actually something of an empath. And then I thought, well, if I'm a baby, who's my dad? And I just thought, it's got to be my best friend, Log.
Yeah, the
right?
Readers can't see this, but I've got my hand right up in the air right now going, yeah. me.
So, here we go. It's a choose your own adventure, no less. You are baby young, sweet baby boy Steve, who is such a weak baby he cannot even hold an apple. You need nutrients to get strong and grow an impressive skeleton and a rippling set of baby abs. But how? You are so weak and feeble, you can barely even do a yawn without falling asleep.
Rolling backwards.
Just as you are snoozing off to baby sleep town, you see a vague shape hovering around at the edge of your underdeveloped vision. Oh yeah, it's your dad, your best friend Log.
Hey!
Log is your father, of course, and it's his mission to keep you alive until you're big enough to push him around in a wheelbarrow. That's what he said to you the moment you were born. Actually, I might get you to read this bit.
Hello, I'm Log, and this is my wheelbarrow. One day, when you're strong enough, you'll be able to push me around in this wheelbarrow. Well, I say able to, it's really more like required to. But I hope by the time you're strong enough to push me around in the wheelbarrow, I won't even have to ask. You'll do it voluntarily because you'll love it too. You'll come toddling up from the cellar every morning to find me, your dad, splayed out in the wheelbarrow and smiling at you encouragingly. And you'll grab both handles and with all your baby strength and a little help from Archimedes' principle, you'll raise me up both figuratively and literally as we do lap after lap of the Motorpoint Arena Nottingham in my wheelbarrow. Asterisk. Me in the wheelbarrow, you driving, as per my earlier detail. That's my hope, Please never make me force you to do this, son.
You can remember Log's words as clearly as though they had just been said to you an hour ago. Because they were. You are a one-hour-old baby, and you're starving. So now it's time to get fed off of a breast. You focus your baby eyes on Log's bare chest. Oh, yeah. You bet that would make a salubrious draft, all right. A nourishing dose, indeed.
A salubrious draft? You sound like someone who drinks real ale.
Or plays Dragon's Dogma 2.
Oh, okay.
But first you need to lay the groundwork. We gotta get this daddy lactating stat. Do you? A. Subconsciously encourage Log's body to produce prolactin, the hormone required to induce lactation, by replacing his Headspace sleep podcast with the sound of an industrial milking machine. Or B, tamper with Log's Alpro cartons. I really wanted to just write that phrase.
Tamper with
Log's Alpro cartons. Then wait for him to sneak to the fridge for... We need to find out how that works.
I just assumed it would work. I assumed you'd worked out the science on paper.
Then wait for him to sneak to the fridge for one of his secret midnight soy glugs. Only to have the wet nut juice dribble all down his chest and get absorbed into his breast cells.
I'm torn because the second one sounds more convincing, but the first one, you have sent me a link to a big cow milking circle that you were Googling earlier.
I was researching cow milking machines.
I feel that some research may have gone into cow milking machines and I don't want to miss that content. So I'm going to choose A.
Success. Your dad is now primed and ready to breastfeed, even if he doesn't realize it yet. Tee-hee-hee. I forgot I was going to go tee-hee-hee at the end.
Like a baby. Like a one-hour-old baby.
I'm trying to get... Your dad is now primed and ready to breastfeed, even if he doesn't realize it yet. Tee-hee-hee. It was worse the second time. Okay. Now all you have to do is crawl up his shins and dock with his pulsating red areolae, using your pair of plump little pink baby lips.
Oh, God.
Then, before either of you know it, his newly realized biological impulses will kick in, and those daddy breasts will start gushing with lumpy, ice-cold ambrosia. Sounds easy? Well, it won't be. Log's got a broomstick, and he's assumed an attack stance. His brain seems to be struggling to adapt to his new hormonal configuration, causing him to become paranoid of weird babies. So he's patrolling the floors of the pub, only pausing to occasionally say, "There'd better not be any sons around here." Do you? A. Crawl from under the bunkette to behind the bar while Log's back is turned. Or B. Enter the air vents.
If my pub had bunkette seating, I could picture that a little bit more, and I have been thinking about getting it installed. So you've drawn your inspiration from my dream pub, not my actual pub. Mm. However, having seen the crawl spaces above the ceiling...
It's very wet up there.
It is soggy. And you could gain some sucker from that, I think. Get in them vents, lad.
Okay. I've actually written all of these out as well, so these are meaningful decisions.
Oh, okay. Oh my God, we should do the other options for the patrons.
You unscrew the air vent using your nappy's giant safety pin and scuttle inside the vents while Log is doing his head-scratching animation at the other end of the room. Huh? What was that noise? He says, before walking slowly towards the source of the crawling sound, broomstick held high.
Guess it was nothing.
Do you, A, stay put, B, oh, B is grayed out because it's an option for... Behind the bar, you've got to go to patreon.com/regularfeatures if you want to hear what that one was. It's really
how do your options gray out? Have you grayed them out manually or have you got some kind of logic code?
Figuratively grayed out.
Oh, sorry. I thought this is amazing. Have you written the program to do this?
So you can stay put or you can say milk for baby.
If I stay put, I think I may have ruined that by saying, guess it was nothing. So I'm going to say milk for baby.
You try to form words, but you are just 1 hour and 20 minutes old. So all that comes out is very loud gurgling.
I'm sorry, I forgot I was the baby and not me.
Very loud gurgling that happens to sound exactly like the regular noises an air vent makes. So you can stay put. Or you could crawl behind the bar.
I'm going to crawl behind the bar, thanks.
You've ruined the Patreon exclusive content, but that's... but we both know neither of us are going to be asked to do that.
Oh, God, I forgot. Yes, I forgot that we say a lot of things that we never do. Yes, carry on. I want to go behind the bar.
Okay, you skid behind the bar. Log, seemingly having forgotten the last time he heard a noise, turns around, says, huh, what was that noise? And walks towards the other source of the sound. So you can stay put, or you can examine the fridge for any high ABV stouts. Baby's favorite.
I'm going to stay put. I'm not going to test my guess it was nothing hypothesis.
You stay put, reasoning that Log's AI is advanced enough that it will investigate the point in the room from which the sound came, like in Metal Gear Solid, rather than becoming magically aware of your current position, despite the fact that he can't even see you, and that is fucking bullshit. I'm looking at you, Legacy of Goku 2, dinosaur egg. You reasoned correctly. Log is briefly confused by the sound of a baby crawling around, but soon concludes that there probably never was a baby, and his imagination must be playing tricks on him.
My imagination must be playing tricks on me.
He lets down his guard, stretching his arms and momentarily revealing those joyous titties of your dad's. Now's your chance. Quickly. Left or right nipple.
Clamp me on that. Bad lefty.
Yeah, you got a bad lefty.
No, bad isn't good. Yeah, okay. Jesus Christ. If anything, it's the right one that's bad.
The right one's good, actually. Good as in infected. You know that thing about how mothers can lift a Volkswagen Beetle clear above their heads whenever they think about their baby or the state pension age? Well, it turns out the opposite is true too. Babies can jump clear over a 5-foot bar or out of a pub air vent wherever milk is concerned. You muster all of your baby stamina and pounce from behind the bar / the air vent like a stray baby bullet, colliding with Log's unguarded nipple with the force of one baby. It's as though Log's tit is John F. Kennedy's unsuspecting head and you are the fateful sniper round fired by Lee Harvey Oswald himself. But if that were the case, where does Oswald fit into this analogy? It's tempting to say that Oswald is your legs, the propelling force that launched you on a ballistic trajectory straight into Log's tate.
Jacques Tate.
But no, your legs would be Oswald's sniper rifle, surely. And the air vent would be the book depository? And what is a book depository anyway? Is it the same as a library? Maybe it's a library where you can drop off books. Yeah, because that way, Lee Harvey Oswald could have smuggled the gun case to the top floor by telling the librarian he was depositing one really long book.
It's just on a till receipt.
You hadn't realised, but you've successfully latched onto your dad's milk prongs. All that giddy baby juice sent you off on a strange and dreamy tangent, almost as though you were trying to get this feature up to word count. Full to the fontanelle with Log's own cream, you drift off into a restful, growthful sleep.
When you wake up, you are 9 years old.
And 9 feet tall.
My favourite detail of that story was that my bar is 5 foot high. Like, I run a pub where you can walk in and rest your chin on the bar and point into your mouth saying, can I have some beer, please?
I honestly couldn't picture how big things are. Oh, because of my baby.
Oh, yeah, it just appears 5 foot tall to a baby with your fully fucking full knowledge of the imperial system.
Features. The regular features. Spooky noise in your ears. Features. A regular feature. Ghosts and wolves with teeth coming into your bedroom. In my research for that feature, I looked up some industrial milking machines, Log.
What was it called again? The Roto Milker.
The Roto Lactor.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. I was so far off the fucking target.
Also known as a rotary milking parlor. It's got a Wikipedia entry. It was invented in 1920 or something like that. It's got all of its essential stats listed. Process type: cow milking apparatus.
Brackets, orbital.
It's basically a big ring where they all stand like they're in the Colosseum.
But ignoring the action, just pointing their heads away from the robot.
Are they pointing away? Oh, yeah, they are.
Because they want to put their udders closer to it, I reckon.
Oh, that's true.
They don't want to, but they They will end up doing that.
Oh, yeah, they all sort of stand tangential to the circle.
When you say tangential, do you mean they are like radial spokes in the milking machine?
Yes. That's exactly what they're like.
Thank you. They're complicit in their own milking.
Industrial sectors, dairy, main technologies or sub-processes, milking a large number of cows. Straight to the point, Rotolacta. I love that. This is the abstract from the patent filed in 19020. The object of this invention is to provide an apparatus whereby an indefinitely large number of cows may be milked successively and largely automatically.
I love the word indefinitely.
Yeah, I took it to mean
it goes on forever.
Infinitely.
As in, like, it just goes on until I say stop.
It's suggesting that they could make bigger and bigger Rotolact. Using bigger and bigger circles, you could fit more cows on the circumference of that circle.
I hope that when we do make our first Dyson sphere, it's just a huge 3D Rotolacta.
That's the maths that I did on what the potential maximum size of a Rotolacta is on planet Earth.
Okay.
Because the patent is for an indefinitely large number of cows, but there's definitely a max, an upper limit to the number of cows you can put in a circle on Earth, which would be the circumference of the Earth, log 40,000 kilometers. The average width of a cow, let's just say it's a meter. They've actually got a bit of breathing room. We've got about 20 centimeters.
This is humane.
We're not being cruel. You'd fit 40 million cows on that the equatorial Rotolacta.
If you hear some clacking, I'm just Googling how many cows are there on the Earth.
1.5 billion.
Really?
Yeah. So it's only a fraction of the cows. 2.6%.
That's if every family had four people in, we could all adopt a cow.
Yeah.
And there'd be some people left without a cow. That'd cause friction. I don't care. As long as I get my cow, fuck them.
Some of the cows on the equatorial Rotolacta would get wet. That is a concern.
Some of them might get cold
if it's a polar a polar Rotolacta.
I mean, would your ideal Rotolacta go cross both poles? It would give you a chance to have all the different things between a nice hot latte and a frogut.
It certainly would, Log.
It would, indeed.
And if it was equatorial, then some of the milk could be sandy.
Oh, God. Little shriveled udders. Hi, I'm Shriveled Dudders, the new columnist for the New York Times.
I'm Shriveled Dudders, and welcome to my interior design show.
I'm Shriveled Dudders.
You have 60 minutes to make over my bedroom.
Is this cake? No, it's my bedroom, you fucking idiot. I just said that.
Steve.
Hi.
Have you been having a nice, relaxed time recently?
Yeah.
Because I've been fucking horrible. I've been really stressed, Steve.
Oh, no. I know why you've been stressed, but why don't you tell me?
I'm glad you're happy. Well, I'll tell you what, Steve. My pub has been something of a gay boy recently. And I know we can say that. Obviously, Gav, Joe, Matt, they could not say. We're in a safe space. I can call my pub a big puff.
They're not even allowed to laugh at that.
I would stop talking if I saw them even smirking and saying, what, is something funny?
Wow.
Because it came to my attention on Saturday of last week now that my pub was, in effect, pissing itself from the void. And I discovered this in what was probably the most frustrating and annoying way possible. You know when someone's got that turn of phrase where they like to draw a sentence out because talking to you for them is a creative writing exercise, and they, heaven forbid that they ever give you information without torturing you.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, he came out the toilet, and I don't know, this isn't word for word because I was seething by the second line of it, but far be it from me to speak out of turn, and I realize I'm not an expert in these matters, but is it within the parameters of normal pub toilet operations? And by this stage, my brain is fucking screaming. It's like, what are you going to say? I've got like all the possibilities are just bouncing around like fucking pachinko balls. And if for water to be gushing from the light fittings, he finished, which I thought was, yes, well done. You saved the funniest part of the joke until last. Good delivery.
You've also delayed telling me about an emergency in my toilet.
Light fittings. That's water and electricity, my friend. You didn't need to make this an exercise in fucking prolonging it. So that's what had happened in the area between the gents' toilets and our excellent Tex-Mex kitchen, Carolina's Tex-Mex. Do come down to the pub. It's all vegan, but you wouldn't know. Delicious. It basically just started gushing water on a Saturday afternoon, and that is the day when every tradesman who comes into our pub is already drunk and doesn't want to go up a ladder to stick their head into my wet void. We didn't have any experts in, but we did have one of a guy who knows a little bit about everything. I think there is a phrase. That is jack of all trades, isn't
yes.
it? And a competent man, not at all.
That's the second part of the jack of all trades phrase, isn't it?
I've never met a man who's so confidently Dunning-Kruger in almost every aspect of life. So being him, just started drilling holes in the ceiling. Well, he did. Well, I looked and said, go over there. Do one over there. So trying to find out where the water would just drop out more effectively, just to keep it away from the lights. And in the end, we just ripped the ceiling plasterboard down because why the fuck not? Called an emergency plumber out. He charged me £320 to, I learned out later that all he did was hammer the pipe for half an hour. Because it was a lead pipe, so you could hammer it to make the hole slightly smaller.
Oh.
So he charged me £320 to do that, and then said he'd come back on Monday because fuck you. I think those were his exact words. I'll come back on Monday because fuck you. I phoned him up on Monday and cancelled him because I am a petty bitch who felt wronged by him. And I went with a kindly local plumber who is known to the pub, so like a bit more confident. I told him that the emergency plumber had said we'd probably have to take up the floor in the kitchen to get the pipe. But he just looked at the pipe through the hole in the ceiling and went, psh. And that I found very reassuring because it's like, psh, I can do that. I'm clueless. So I just believed him. He's been around the block. He's probably fucking amazing at the hacking minigame on Bioshock. So at 12 o'clock, our opening time, I opened the pub because it seemed like he was nearly done. We couldn't wash glasses. We couldn't flush the toilets, but that's fine. I warned everyone who came in that we only had a urinal and everything would be okay. And I knew everything would be okay because I said, everything will be okay in that convincing voice. Then the plumber came down from his little plumbing ladder and said, I can't do it. I need to come in from the top. Okay, I said, biting my tongue that I'd told him that already. And he just went, sure. Let's do that, I said. No, he replied, I don't have the tools. You'll need an emergency plumber. No, I said, I cancelled him yesterday and he texted good luck in a way that I found sarcastic and aggressive. I can't go back to him. And he looked at me with his sad old eyes that had seen a million pipes. He remained silent. I think he was using it as a negotiating tactic. Okay, I said, can we carry on just using the ladies as a unisex as we have been the last couple of days? And he produced a segment of lead pipe in a way that says, no, you can't do that because I've absolutely cut your plumbing in half and you cannot turn anything back on because, well, we've all seen what happens in the hacking minigame in Bioshock when you get it wrong.
What happens in the... Oh, the turrets turn on you.
Yes. Yeah. It's not pretty, Steve.
It's really not pretty. Those things will shoot you up to ribbons. You'll need quite a bit of Adam to recover from that one.
Oh, I've forgotten about Adam, fuck me. And at this point, when he told me that I couldn't even resume to a normal pub operation, that's when my head kind of just went all foggy. Because one thing I haven't mentioned yet, because I was holding it back like a master fucking storyteller, was that my aunt had died about 6 hours ago. My aunt, who you'll remember, was dying in the last episode.
Mm.
Yes, she's had a real arc in this podcast.
A very short arc. Yeah. She burned bright, though, in the regular features wiki.
Oh, so naturally, in this situation, I wanted to be with my family. I wanted to be with my mum, saying helpful things like, well, it'll come for us all in the end. Just cheer her up, like. So, we need to get the floor in the kitchen up. That's a joiner's job, and I do know a joiner. I call him, he's working on a multi-million pound extension. So, fuck me, I guess. But something happened in that conversation. Perhaps the combination of stress and grief unlocked a kind of tone of voice that worked on him, inspired, like, fatherly instincts in him. Maybe he's just a nice guy who thought, fuck this millionaire metropolitan latte sipper, a local independent pub is in trouble.
Yeah.
Whatever the reason, he dropped his tools and came in within 40 minutes and ripped up my kitchen floor like a fucking Tasmanian devil. And by the time he arrived, it was 3 p.m. We'd had a few people leave after their first drink because we only had a gent's urinal in service, which made me mutter, too posh to squat over a pisser, love. But at bang on 5 o'clock, as we had the post-work trickle arriving, I actually started having eye ticks like a fucking cartoon, and the plumber told me it was okay to turn on the water. And you know how I've not been the same since? You know when someone says boo, you just throw your ice cream in the air and then laugh. If someone says boo to you at different levels for 9 hours, you kind of just go rigid and it's not as easy to calm down. So I'm going to jack it all in. I'm sick of being responsible. I'm sick of having family members who can let you down by stopping living. So I'm going to live as a hermit, and I'm going to keep a diary. And I'd like to read for you my hermit diary, what I am going to do. Diary of Log the Hermit, minute one. This is great. I like this, just me and my thoughts. And that's good. I like that. I realise just me and my thoughts sounds like the most obvious kind of foreshadowing, that my thoughts are actually the last thing I want to be left with. But no, this is nice, actually. Ah. Minute two. Yes, I realise that was a classic case of me think the lady doth protest too much, but I'm actually very relaxed right now, and maybe I just want to bleach my hair or shave my head or maybe befriend that snake. I bet I could make that snake love me just by hissing. Just as long as I avoid hissing snake slurs. It's a minefield. Minute three. This fucking sucks. It's just the same, but I've got no one to blame. I'm going home. The end.
It's like the final season of Breaking Bad where Walter White gets disappeared, he gets a new identity and goes to live in a cabin in the woods for less than one episode before he comes strutting back into town.
Nope, not for me, thanks.
In session and in conversation very, very shortly, we're very excited. Stuart in Nottingham says, hello Craig, I don't know divorce, but they have had a drink in my partner John's pub, which is the King Billy in Nottingham. Can they send some positive energy in the direction of Billy today, please? As I'm having a bit of a plumbing nightmare today. I'll tell them that when they get here, okay?
Regular features now.
That's awful. Right, now it's time for my regular feature, Steve.
Your second regular feature.
That wasn't a feature. That was just some horrible shit that happened to me, and I just wrote 40 words at the end of it. Yeah, like you, I've also been very preoccupied with babies recently, Steve, because like you, I am also on a podcast with Joe, who's had a baby. Mm. I'm reliably informed that in hospital, the scenes of birth were exactly like the flood bat pack from Mario Sunshine going horizontal bananas.
Oh, fucking hell. Did you send that to Joe?
No, I did not. I would never let Joe hear me say that.
I think he would have really enjoyed that, though.
Right up his alley. He loves Nintendo. Honestly, I can't wait for Joe to come back and do features about how small his baby's hands are. So I've come up with a few pictures, maybe a few ideas. Joe, if you are listening, how do you feel about these baby feature pictures? And actually, because Joe's not here, maybe you could tell me how you'd feel about them, Steve.
Okay.
Idea one, little baby gurgles. So Joe plays the sound of his baby gurgling, and we have to guess which transformer she's looking at from the nuanced emotion in the gurgling. For instance, that's Bumblebee, of course. Kindly Bumblebee, who'll scoop you up and put you in his tummy. That's Optimus Prime. He is good and nice, but a bit serious. And you know, when the gravity of his battle with the Decepticons is lost on you because you're only a day old, you might not understand his need for seriousness, and it might just feel like you're being told off, hence your concern. That's Ambulon, the transformer who transforms into a leg. This response is legitimate and demonstrates that your baby is in good working order. That's Thunderblast, the transformer with nipples. To a baby, that's like waving a milky rag to a baby bull. That pre-toddling son of a gun will learn to toddle just to lock on to what babies call dat nip. And a little bit of a research aside, Steve, because we like sharing our research notes now. I was looking up sexy transformers because I didn't know what to do for this feature.
I love the idea of you typing sexy Transformers into Google with a single index finger while Stuart just looks over your shoulder. you turn back and say, it's for research.
I did find a blog, though, called The Top 10 Sexiest Transformers, and that's how I found out about there was a Transformer with nipples, but that was from a comment. But my favourite comment on that piece was, yes, I love sex robot, the good. Stay away from my woman, Optus Prim. The good, the good sir, thank you, Jin Takum, to him to write this. I hop her, Ryo, good day, man. Yeah, robo sex. That is the most sincere comment. And just, what a happy lad. Anyway, the next baby feature is called Always Pee Holdin'. We all clap politely as Joe's child holds a pee with her hand. If she waves her arms around, we cheer enthusiastically. If she puts the pee in her mouth, we fucking scream and plunge our hands into the air. If she throws the pee on the floor, we howl in anguish and go into the bonus round called Berate the Baby, in which we take it in turns to call the baby Little Miss Slipsy Legume or a colossal pee-fumbling fuck-up until Joe takes her headphones off. Sad that he ever trusted us. Number 3, Little Hitler. Don't have any rules written down for that one. Guess it's just edgy improv. Number 4, a quiz where Joe's baby goes up against the biggest brains of the Regular Features podcast. So first we have to film Joe's baby more than either he or his wife will probably be happy with. And when we've got enough footage, we splice together a quiz. So Steve, do you know the answer to these questions? Are you smarter than a 10-year-old? Javier Botet played the titular role in this 2013 horror film. What is it called?
Is it The Babadook?
It's Mama.
Oh,
The film is called Mama. We might have to wait a couple of years until baby starts saying shit like that. It's okay. Fine. Who provided the score for the 1999 movie The Virgin Suicides?
Antonio Banderas.
You could get that out of it. If you cut some, I could cut any baby footage together to make something say that. You just lost to a baby, Steve. And Steve, what is the desired response if a Hungarian gives you a trafer?
Goo goo gaga.
No, a trafer is a joke, so you just want any kind of formless laughter. It would be fine. So yeah, I can get a baby to answer questions that you can't, Steve. So that's my way of making Joe's baby look better than she probably is.
Was I supposed to say, what's a trafer?
Oh no, what's a trafer? I don't know. No, it's not like a fucking what's a bum for? It's a shitting out of Steve.
So confused by this one. This one's really throwing me.
Trafer is Hungarian for joke.
Oh.
I didn't say that, did I?
I thought the joke was supposed to... I was supposed to respond with, what's a trafer? And you say, carrying cups of tea.
I'm so sorry. I just wanted to get that one over with. So I was just like, I was not ready for new and better jokes to be inserted in there, Steve. Anyway, the fact I did have a job as a creative at a TV company, and I think coming up with that kind of shit is the reason they didn't renew my contract and I ended up working at a university. I'll be honest, Steve, I don't think he's going to go for any of those, so I'm just going to do my own baby feature about the baby I just had. So now it's time for my regular feature, Steve, check out my crazy baby. Steve, you won't believe my crazy... Steve, what?
Yeah, I was responding. Yes.
Okay, come on.
I want to see it.
You won't believe it. Okay, here he is. He spins around like a record, and whatever he points to when he stops, it does a fart. He points to you, and bang, you just done a big Egon Ronnie and ruined the party. And it's not just humans. No, it works on more than that. The baby, my baby, he points to a party balloon. The party you just ruined with your big Egon Rone. The balloon lets out a big horrible fart and it flies around the room, inflicting a terrible eggy curse. And it's not just things that have inherent air pressure. The baby, my baby, will point to a family cabinet where we keep our important family documents. He points and the bottom drawer slides out of the cabinet and out come a dozen putrid trumps. I go to look in the drawer and my car insurance documents are all farted on. And it's not just things with moving parts. Like cabinet, the baby, my baby, he points to a wooden duck. Sorry. Sorry. The baby, my baby, he points to a wooden block that has been carved into a beautiful duck shape. And you think it didn't work, but then the wooden duck starts to smell very bad because it was a trick and the duck did a silent but deadly. It even works on things that cannot be pointed at. The baby, my baby, he goes cross-eyed and points a crooked finger and makes a sharp, twisting motion with his eldritch knuckles and summons a big wet bum fart from the hell dimension that is superimposed on this world but invisible to us. In short, I love my baby. He's a keeper. Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Steve. You won't believe my crazy baby. He is at 100 miles an hour. He goes like the clappers, Steve. It's so crazy to get the Doppler effect from your own baby, Steve. He sings like a mogwai. You've got to believe me, his voice is so beautiful. But you cannot hear the music as it is being sung unless you get into a fast car and drive alongside him as he sings it. He gets faster every day. Soon he will be faster than my Toyota Corolla. Currently, we feed my baby by dangling my wife upside down on a jib attached to my Toyota Corolla so he can refuel in... What's the word? What he can refuel in...
Steve, suggest the word transit.
He can refuel in what?
Transit?
No, it's a Toyota Corolla, Steve. When he exceeds the... when he exceeds the top speed of my beloved car, 111.8 miles per hour, we will have to stop breastfeeding him. We will have to fill his favourite streets with nutritious power pills that he can gobble up as he runs. Oh, Steve, we thought my crazy baby would sleep, but I saw a haunting sight in the dash cam footage of my crazy baby as he locked onto the boob of my upside down wife. His eyes were closed, Steve. He was sleep feeding at tremendous speed, Steve. I don't want to have to throw a bolus at my own child, but I fear the day is coming when I must. Steve, what suggestions do you have for my crazy baby? Do you have any suggestions on how I can stop my baby?
Spikes across the road.
Baby caltrops. Correct.
Yes.
That's something for me to try out tomorrow. Oh, Steve, you know there
tried
are a lot...
a bolus.
I haven't tried it yet. I just feel the day is coming inevitable that I must one day try. You know, there are a lot of trouble babies, Steve, but I wouldn't change a thing. Except for how fast he is.
He needs to be at least half as fast.
He's too fast for the ring road.
Oh, God, I don't have another one. you'll be overjoyed
right,
to hear.
I can exhale.
Just one more feature. Give it to me. Delicious ice cream.
God, I'm sorry, are you recording?
From Italy. Regular features.
Well, that's it for this week's episode of the Regular Features Podcast. If you like the podcast, you can rate and review us. Where do you do that? iTunes? I want to say iTunes. My mouth was going to say iTunes. Maybe it's Spotify.
Is it one of those, is it just wherever you get your podcasts these days?
Wherever good podcasts are downloaded.
Yeah, wherever good podcasts are downloaded and also pit them against each other in a ratings war.
If you really like the episode, head to patreon.com/regularfeatures to help us make even more. If you give us £2 an episode, Log, what do you get?
Do you know what you get, Steve? You get... Do you know what people have called you your whole life? They're going to have to fucking change their ways soon.
My name.
Your name, yeah. They're going to have to change their ways soon because that word, that mundane word that they have previously used as your appellation, will no longer exist. It will be obliterated. It'll burn through like the cards on Balatro when you play the game Balatro. It'll just disappear like that. You won't be going home empty-handed, though, Steve. What you will get from us is a delightful bee name that you can use with fellow bees. And it's not the name that bees will call you. It's your name that has some tangential relevance to bees. Do you understand?
We'll destroy your human name and give you a bee name. It happened to Rory Partridge, or should I say J. Robbie Boppenslimer.
That's a good name. Steve, can you please give me a bee name for David Isles?
David Isles. I would sting 500 Isles, and I would sting 500 wasps.
Just to be the bee that drops dead at the hive having stung 500 bees and wasps.
So Dave Isles, your bee name is I Would Sting 500 Isles. Log, could you please give a bee name to Ian Rose?
Well, obviously, you want to say something like Ian Rose so high in the bee hierarchy that he was at the right hand of the queen. However, there came a fateful day where he had to choose between true love and his loyalty to the queen, and he chose both by engaging in a really fucking hot three-way with his girlfriend and the queen, and they all squirted honey into a big pit. And that pit was the Grand Canyon.
There is a character limit on the bee names. It's the only thing. It's a beautiful story.
Okay, the bee name is Troilism Canyon Squirt. So whenever you say your name, you will think of that beautiful story. Story.
How do you spell Troilism?
It's T-R-O-I-L-I-S-M. It's the word for threesome, if you're being posh.
Troilism Canyon
Squirt. Honey Squirt. Honey in brackets.
Oh my God.
I be squirting. Honey, that is. Maybe that's a good V name.
Do you want to give him that one?
Yeah. He can listen to all that and then V name taken back. Your name, your B name actually is I be squirting. Honey, that is.
If you'd like your own B name, patreon.com/regularfeatures and help us out. Review and rate. Rate and review. On Spotify and iTunes too.
That's really good. Oh my God, I'm so talented. I'm so privileged to work with people like you, Steve.
Regular features. Regular features. Regular.